Hello, everyone. It is module one, no BS coaching day with me. So I'm going to get suited up here. Hang on, let me get myself situated. And then let me get the right microphone on. And let's see. Can you guys hear me okay? Just let me know in the chat. That'd be awesome. You'll tell me if you can hear me. Good. Good. Welcome, everybody. All right, let me tell you what we're doing today. So we have a lot of newbies, which is super exciting. For all of you, this is a coaching call. And what a coaching call is that you come on camera with me. I can't see or hear anyone. But if you would like to talk to me on camera today about anything in module one of No BS, which means this is all about doable hunger, the doable planning method, all that kind of stuff, this is your call. So if you'll raise your hand, you can do that. The other things you need to know is that if you will turn on when you're typing in the chat, all panelists and attendees, that means that everybody will be able to see your stuff. If you actually have a question and you would rather just ask a question instead of coming on camera, you can ask me a question over here. So far, ain't nobody wanting to get coached, and nobody has a question. Now, if y'all want a five-minute call, we can do that. All right, here comes some hands. So if you have a question about Module 1, if you have a question or coaching about Module 1, we can do that. Let's go with Koya. You're coming on first. And then I am going to also, here we go, I have to unmute. One of the other things is that when you get coached, you cannot be driving, and I am extremely car sick, so you can't be walking around either. So sit your ass in a chair, otherwise the queen gets sick. All right. And this will be replayed. So if you're listening on the replay, you already know that, but it goes in the private member podcast. It also goes in your video replay section of your membership, and it's an optional call. All right, Koya. Tell me all the things. How can I help you?
Good morning.
Oh, and how long have you been a member? Everybody tell me when you started so that I'll know how hard I can go and how easy I need to go.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I started on the free resources back in May.
Okay.
And I've lost 26 pounds.
Awesome.
And then I just joined this week. So
okay. So you're a baby.
I'm a baby. I'm a newbie.
All right. I go easy on the babies.
Thank you. So my biggest thing is, and I know I've heard you say you've talked about it a million times, but I'm still struggling with knowing when I'm full.
Okay.
So I'm a fast eater, so I've tried to slow down, and that's been like my work life for the last 25 years. I'm an outside sales rep, so we're grabbing and going and eating in the car and running here, and I'm in healthcare. So right now, it's even especially, you know, more crazy. But I'm just still trying to figure that out because I tend to just like eat it all before I even take that pause.
Okay. So the best way to do it is to tell yourself over and over again that if I've been eating fast for 25 years, shit ain't gonna change in 1 week.
Okay.
Or even 3 months. I mean, think about it.
Right.
What have you ate? Probably at least three times a day for 25 years.
At least what my bad habit was before, because when I was traveling on the road, I covered 12 states. So a lot of times I would skip lunch. And then by the time I got somewhere, and I know I've heard your story about your stomach's the same size, but I'd be like, man, I haven't ate all day. I'm starving. I should eat twice as much because I haven't ate all day.
All of those thoughts caused you to eat more.
Yes.
It wasn't because your stomach, like you're not the unique stomach. It's like, right. Well, if I sit around, like it's just think about this. If you're watching a scary movie and all you do is sit there going, I'm going to get the shit scared out of me. I'm going to get the shit scared out of me. I just know somebody's coming around that corner. I just know that something's fixing to happen. If you sat there the entire time, would you be relaxed and calm? Or would you be every second something happened, like on your grip?
Right.
It's the same thing with food, guys. If you sit there and tell yourself, I get too hungry. I know this, like if you predict the feeling, you're all fortune tellers, every one of you. Whatever you tell yourself about your eating like patterns and stuff, if all you do is say like, well, I've been on the road all day and blah, 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 blah. And all you do is give that narrative before you eat, you tell the fortune.
Okay.
That is like saying to your brain, hey, I've just given you all the commands that you need in order to overfill, to eat fast, to do those things.
It's understanding when you're having that conversation and dead stopping every single time it starts. So every single time that kind of a conversation starts, you just be like, wait a minute. No, the way that we want to think about our food is we're really going to pay attention to when we've had enough. I know I'm extra hungry, so that means I need to pay more attention. Not, I know I'm extra hungry and it's going to be fucking hard to stop.
Okay.
It's like understanding how to listen to the narrative around your food and then add in new narrative that makes sense to tell your brain, and here's how I want you to operate. Like if I was going to give my brain instruction manuals on how to eat and know when to stop, here are the things I would be telling myself. So you have to let the old stuff come in and reroute to the new instructions. Otherwise, it's only going to follow its old instructions that you keep giving it. Okay. So for you, as someone who needs to work on getting full, here are some things that you can do. Number one is handwrite out what you currently tell yourself before you eat. Doesn't mean the moment before, but it's like right now you're telling me, it's like, well, you know, I've been on the road for 25 years and I've done this and I've done this. It's like you're basically saying, I need to back up and think hard about why I'm a fast overeater versus I already know that part. We're done. I don't ever have to remind myself of that story ever again.
Okay.
All I need to do now is get really good at saying, because of that, I have to pay attention more. It's going to take me some time. What are the things that I can do to purposely slow myself down? Each time I don't do that or I catch myself at some point, I just slow down then. So when it comes to stopping before you're full, there's like these phases that we go through. The first one is deciding on paper what is going to be the story. It can't be that I'm an overeater, and it can't be that I've traveled for all these years, and it can't be that this is just who I am, because that only gets me the version of me who can't find her fullness. It only gets me the version who still continues to eat fast and is missing her signals. So I need to tell this new story. The next thing is figuring out and watching yourself like, all right, when I eat, what are things I can do to slow myself down? And just know that it will take deciding to do those things over and over and over again for a while before they become a habit. So before something doesn't become a habit because you do it perfectly for X amount of days. Something becomes a habit because you never give up on trying to make it a habit. So in the beginning stages of habit formation, we just forget to do the things because we're not used to doing them. But that doesn't mean that we throw away reminding ourselves. The moment you've realized you forgot your steps, you just say like, it's not a big deal. The next time I eat, maybe I need a sticky note. Or the next time I'm going to try to tell myself earlier. And you write about all of that stuff. It starts getting into your consciousness at that point.
Okay.
Then what happens is the next phase starts happening. You're about 50-50. Sometimes you're doing it and sometimes you're not. And you don't beat yourself up. And you don't think this shit's not working. You don't go to, I was going to do the math. So you've had 9,125 days eating the way you do times two meals a day. You've ate fast and passed full 18,250 times.
You've probably tried
the new way about 40.
Right.
Oh, right. You know, okay. 40's good. I'm glad you got started. But it, like, when we think about it like that, it's like, maybe it's unrealistic of me to think this should be fixed by now, that there's a problem. Maybe the problem is I just haven't done it enough to make it more routine.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Everybody's
you.
Everybody's giving me kudos for doing some math.
Thank you.
I never do the math. You're welcome. But is that helpful?
Yes, very much. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Joy. I just love the name Joy. Just like, how could it be better than to be named Joy? I don't know. I could be named Sexy as Fuck. That'd probably be great. I'd love to sign my name. Like go get a car loan and be like, what's your name? Sexy as Fuck. What's yours? Joy, you here? All right, Joy might not have meant to raise her hand. Oh, wait, let's see. Are you coming online? Yep, there she is. Hang on, I can't hear you. You got to unmute yourself. There you go.
I have horrible internet, so I didn't even know if I could do this.
Okay. Well, let's try. If not, then throw it into the Q&A and I'll answer it there. What do you need help? When did you join?
Okay. I just joined.
Okay,
like,
great.
A couple days ago.
Perfect. All right. Now I know how to coach.
Yep. And so, I was doing a lot of your free stuff before I even started and or before I joined. What I was curious about is for the 24-hour plan, is it okay for now to just put snacks as pretty much everything I have in the house? Like, I have a snack basket, and then I have some, like, yogurts and different stuff in the house. Like, is it okay to just put snacks as that?
Yep, I would just list them out. I would just put, like, snacks in the snack basket or yogurt. Or the whole point of it is there's no right or wrong. It's more about, you want to give your brain as much clarity as possible. You want to get used to planning ahead so that you don't have to think about food anymore. You don't have to like wonder what you're going to be having. You don't have to like, we want to spend less time thinking about food so that you can spend more time enjoying your life or figuring out why you're not enjoying your life or whatever that is. But a lot of us, what we do is we use food and the thinking about food and what we're going to eat. We use so much of our emotional bandwidth on it. We don't even realize how much of it we're using. And then we're at the end of the day, we're exhausted and we don't have anything, like nothing left in the tank. And it's like, you know, if we would quit just spending so much time obsessing about food, then we can cut some level of tiredness out right there. So I would just put those down on my plan and just be as specific as you can. And if in the beginning for all of you, if having some options is helpful, have options so that you've narrowed your choices down right there. It's like, rather than just saying, I'm going to have a snack and then hope I don't have a bad day, go into the pantry and then decide what, I was like, well, I planned a snack, but I didn't really put what I put down on. So now I get to look at everything and we get all wore out and exhausted and tempt ourselves in ways that we don't even need to even work out, you know, do. So yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. And then, like yesterday I had, you know, everything in my snack basket written down and I ended up skipping lunch because I was insanely busy. So I skipped lunch, but on my way to somewhere, I grabbed out of the snack basket. Well, then by the time I got home, I was way too exhausted to make the dinner that I had planned. So then I just had my leftover plate that I had planned for lunch.
That's
is that still considered eating on plan, or is that like I went off the rail there?
I wouldn't. Well, here's the thing. Going off plan is not a bad thing. I think a lot of you conflate. Like if I go off plan, this must be a bad thing. The way I always treat it is if I go off plan, I want to understand why and I want to like my reason. So sometimes I go off plan because I've had a bad day and I want to drink. not a good idea. Sometimes, like yesterday, I went off plan. I did almost exactly as you did yesterday. I got insanely busy during the day. I had ate my breakfast at like, it was like 9:30 or something like that. Well, I wasn't real hungry and I also was working and wasn't thinking about it. So it was 4:30 and I was tired and I was done for the day. And so I ate my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Now that technically would be off plan for me, but what I would do in my planner is just say like off plan, eat the reasons why I missed lunch. I ate my lunch because I was tired. I feel really good about that decision. I'm moving on because off plan is really about like, there's no good or bad on it. It's just like off plan. Why did I do it? The reason why. Will this get me to where I want to go? Is this the kind of person I want to be? Like, I'm fine with making reasonable switches.
Right.
I think that that's very doable and stuff. But I always track all of them. Because okay. I also like to, there's a side benefit to tracking it as an off plan so that when you go back, it's like, oh, like the only times I ate off plan this month were the times that I was really listening to my body and I was making good decisions and stuff. It's so nice to see me actually, when I eat off plan, not having fuck it eats anymore. Now I'm actually just eating my lunch, you know, or whatever. So it's, there's a reinforcement that can also happen there, but most of you get hemmed up because like, I think off plan, you know, what is that about? I get curious about it. Most of you go off plan. Holy fuck. I'm never going to lose weight. I'm a terrible person. How am I ever going to let's slow your roll and figure out why first.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Vicky.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. How long have you been with us?
Oh, I just joined.
Okay. I'm deciding.
Yeah.
You just joined, you get the nice version. If you didn't just join, we're going old school. It's like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Okay. Well, maybe I need a combination of both. Who knows
what No. Nobody needs what the fuck today.
Yeah, I did the challenge with you, and then I signed up, and I'm not doing well. I keep eating at night. I write it down ever since the challenge. I'm still doing my same stuff.
Okay. How? Like, what are we eating? First of all, take a deep breath, okay? If you're crying over eating at night, I know that you have shame about it. There's something going on where you're making these off-plan eats or these overeats at night mean something about Vicky rather than just something we need to look at and figure out for Vicky. Unwinding, if you've been using, I don't know, have you been using overeating at night for a long time as a way to...
Oh, yeah. I always thought, you know, I would be thin if I didn't eat at night. I know that. And I've tried this... intuitive eating, like with Janine Roth, all those books. And every time I do those plans, those don't work. I mean, the thing that has worked sometimes is, I don't know, not eating at night, just telling myself, cut off, don't eat after dinner.
Okay.
And so I can't get, I've been trying to do that. And I've been doing that before I joined your thing. So,
yeah. All right. So have you been writing the food that you eat at night down on your plan so that you purposely have it?
Yes.
So what is the problem then? If you're actually eating the food you got on your plan, why are we even talking about it?
Oh, no. I'm eating extra. I'm eating the...
So tell me what you put on your plan every night. Like, all right, my nighttime eating is going to consist of this. And what do you write down?
Okay. So I have my little planner here.
Awesome.
Let's see. I put tonight that it's going to be... apple or grapes and a half a bag of almonds.
Okay. I can already tell that reeks of complete bullshit. Okay. I on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, with 10 being, I'm going to eat this. And I'm already looking forward to it. Like, I read it and my mouth watered and I'm like, why am I not eating it now?
But I put in a dessert during dinner. I put in these chocolate nut balls.
Okay. That's great. I applaud you. But apples... and all this other horseshit. Tell me what you ate at night. Tell me what you ate last night.
What last night? What was I? Okay, so I ate. Let's see. I had. You're gonna laugh at this. This is what I had in the house. So I had egg salad. I made egg salad on a rice cake with salad or frozen veggies.
That was your nighttime snack?
No. That was my dinner. My snack.
What was the nighttime snack? What did you actually end up eating last night?
Fruit, frozen grapes, or an apple.
That's what you actually had?
No. Then I added goat cheese and crackers.
Right. Why is goat cheese and crackers not on there for tonight then?
I don't know, because I thought the almonds would fill me up, but maybe I should substitute that instead. But it's still, you know, like, you know, other days it was a lot worse.
Right. Well, tell me about those days. Like, and okay. It wasn't worse. I think the biggest problem you have right now is you don't have the skill yet of, it's like, here are the foods that I know I should eat. Like, these are the good foods. Like, if I'm going to be a nighttime eater, if I have nuts and an apple, then I'm going to lose all my weight. Like, there's like this holier than thou version of you planning this nighttime snack. And then there's like Vicky, who fucking wants cheese and crackers and all the things. Yeah. And well, she's back. That's what we cry about.
Yeah. Well, there was one day where I noticed you do this little bowl of ice cream. So I did that. And then I ended up eating the whole pint.
Yeah. So the pint should be on the plan. Let me ask you this. Does it just blow your mind that you are in the stage of weight loss? The version of you who loses all of her weight starts with putting on the plan exactly what the fuck she's going to want to eat.
Well, do you put like a quantity? You know, like, should I be having I shouldn't have a pint of ice cream.
Let me ask you, why shouldn't you?
Well, that's like 4 servings.
But why shouldn't you?
I'm wanting to release this weight for good.
Right. Well, I can tell you one way you won't do it. Eating behind your back, throwing yourself under the bus, and then getting on a coaching call and crying about it.
Yeah.
That's not how we release weight for good.
For all my life. Well, not all my life.
You're trying to lose weight by villainizing a version of you and getting away from her. And I'm trying to teach you how to lose weight in a way that you fall in love with yourself and you start respecting your choices and you have the emotional skills to love yourself enough not to eat those. But that starts with being able to eat those foods consciously and on purpose without shame and guilt. Until you figure out, I don't want to eat that much anymore. I don't need it anymore. I now know why I keep eating it.
Okay, so you don't really put quantities on there what you want to eat?
This is how I would do it. If you're going to put ice cream, your problem is that when you put ice cream in there, you're like, well, I'm going to try in a small bowl. Because it's not virtuous for me to eat a pint. And what I want you to do is like, if you know that you are likely to eat a pint of ice cream, then just write down, pint of ice cream. And then you eat, you go to your plan, and then you come face to face with the version of you who is terrified of eating a pint of ice cream, who has judgment of the ice cream, who thinks that there's no way I'll lose weight. And you go through that version. What you're doing right now is you're feeling really good about planning it in small quantities, and then you don't want to do that. And so you just shut off and eat the ice cream, ignoring everything about you. You ignore the version of you who has goals and dreams. You ignore the version of you who's like, hey, wait a minute. I don't think we should do this. You're turning all of that off. And that's what keeps you from losing weight. It's not because you're going to eat a pint of ice cream for 7 days. The reason why you don't lose weight is because if you keep eating ice cream from shame, hiding, and guilt, and coming up with plans that you think make you a good person and then not feel like a good person when you eat those foods, you'll never lose weight, ever. We got to rebuild Vicky's relationship with herself and make it not about the food.
So what ideas do you have for those who have always kind of been a sneak eater?
Super simple. Everything that you would eat in the sneak, it now goes on your plan. Like it is the hardest step for all of you. What I want you to think about is you have to start putting every ounce of that on the plan and come face to face with the version of you who knows that eating like this, you want to change so bad. But you guys want to change it before you really know why you're eating it to begin with. The only way that you will figure out why you're eating these foods is literally, Vicky, you write down all the foods that you really know tonight. Like, I'm probably going to eat this. My binge eaters, we call it planned binging. They put it all down. And then at night when it's time to eat it, they don't eat it because they're saying, fuck it to apples. They now eat it because it's like, this is on my plan. I'm so nervous about eating this. I've never ate in front of my own face. I've always snuck around and ate behind my own back. by putting things like apples and nuts on my plan and then eating these things. I hide from myself every day that I write those foods on the plan. It's the ultimate in sneaking. The problem is you can't hide from yourself.
Right.
Because you cry about it. And the next day you feel bad.
I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So it starts with you put it all realistically on your plan. When we say doable plan, I mean doable. For some of you, the hardest part about the doable plan is it's excruciating to follow through on because you've never ate your ice cream while also thinking about your goals. You've never ate your ice cream consciously and making the choice like, shit, there's a version of me that wants to eat ice cream in this way. And when you start doing that, then there's these magic things that start happening. The first one, for some people, just having it on the plan and having to go get all the food they would normally eat and sit with it is so uncomfortable, it ruins the experience. Because you're probably eating all the ice cream and stuff to get away, to relax, to be comfortable. Well, we take that away when we put it on the plan. We're like, well, fuck. Now I'm eating ice cream with my eyes wide open, thinking about my damn goals. I feel like shit. So it's like, it starts training your brain to think about two different things. The other group will eat the food. And for a few days, it will be a fucking hurrah. They're like, oh, great. Blah, blah, blah. This is going to be awesome. And then what will happen is it will get boring. They'll be following their plan. And then they'll start saying, well, maybe I don't need a whole pint. Today, maybe I just need 3/4. They have the skill set of like not waking up each day, beating themselves up and stuff. They're building some of that emotional resiliency to where after a few days, they can start going, well, maybe I could just do this. Maybe I could just do this. That's how you start really changing the relationship with you and your food. Now, you'll learn more of this in modules 2 and 3 of No BS. We talk a lot more in depth, but to get you started, that's where we start. Plan, really doable. I can't overstate how important a doable plan is in the beginning.
Okay, and this is the advice you give to the, I know you have a binge eater subgroup, and this is the advice that you give them.
We don't have a binge eater subgroup. We have binge eater calls. And that's the exact advice I give them. We have calls on what's called the planned binge. If you want, I don't know, or do you feel overwhelmed by the content, or do you feel really good about it, or where are you kind of at in the spectrum of listening to things? You're on this call, so you can't be too overwhelmed.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? I accidentally raised my hand, and then I thought, I wonder if I should lower it, and then you called on me. I was like, oh gosh, okay, here I go. So I was meant to be on this call, so thank you.
Go to the website. And click on, if you're okay with consuming a little extra content this month or this week, go to the website and click on the video replays and type in the search bar binge and listen to some of the calls that we've done where I've coached people on binge eating. Mm-hmm. And then, because you may not be a binge eater, but I find a lot of people share very similar, it's like similar steps and stuff. You know, the biggest thing I coach binge eaters on that's very different from just overeating is binge eaters typically eat in secret. They eat in, they have a lot of shame around their eating, like immense shame, and they eat in really large volumes. Mm-hmm. And then overeaters usually have some self-loathing about it. There is a little bit of shame. It's not that we feel good about it, but it's not crippling to us. Whereas binge eaters feel very crippled by their binge eating and by their eating patterns. And then overeaters, we overeat, but at some point we have enough. Like binge eaters don't have enough until they get physically ill usually. And then the other thing is overeaters typically, like I'm an overeater. Like I will overeat and eat off plan right in front of Chris. A binge eater would not binge or eat their binge foods in front of another human. Mm-hmm. They just don't do that. So that's what separates them. So outside of that, A lot of the technique, though, that we do in terms of putting it into the consciousness, releasing the guilt, the shame, the like, I'm a bad person, I'm never going to lose weight, the hopelessness, all that stuff, all the same. Same.
Okay. All right.
But you put that ice cream or whatever you want to eat tonight, you put that on your plan. You cross out apple. It's not too late. Just knock that shit out and put down what you know you will eat tonight. I guarantee it'll feel different.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Bye.
I must be the only diet coach, but like, you cross out them apples and bullshit. Sometimes I crack me up at the shit I say. Laura. Where do I find the Module 1 worksheets? Gail, if you'll ask that in chat, it's going to be in the No BS program. Dina will link you. Our fabulous Dina is here today. Do I count my P&P coffee, your recipe that has MCE oil in it? Yes. I would put that down as my breakfast, Lisa. All right. How can I help you, Laura? Laura.
You got Lindsay.
Lindsay, whoever.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So I started
with an L.
Yes. And I've got my notes in front of me. So forgive me for not looking right at the screen because I want to go from my notes. Okay. So I started listening to you on Losing 100 with Corinne in July. And so since the end of June to exactly, ironically, September 20th, I got off 25 pounds. So awesome. You have sprinkled, as I said in my email to you, many seeds of wisdom throughout my path that have helped me get there. I think a lot of us struggle with guilt no matter where we are in the spectrum. So this is a little bit of a multi-layer guilt question.
Okay.
One of the things that I do that doesn't feel harsh to me that works for me is intermittent fasting, because I've been up the scale and down the scale from a low of 178 to a high of 270 over the last 25 years. Fortunately, my husband loves me and 24 years of marriage anyway. But I find myself when I'm eating clean, and I don't want to bastardize that or make it sound like a punishment to myself, because I'm okay with that, because I think I'm a sugar addict and a carb addict. So, you know, because we're all probably just diet junkies. So I've been off sugar for a while. So when I'm eating clean and I'm eating salmon or I'm eating chicken or I'm eating vegetables and I'm eating with my family, I find that I'm eating past two, but I don't feel like, if you'll pardon me for saying, fucked up about it, because it's clean foods and I've had my fast and I'm in my window.
So you're justifying giving your body more food than it needs because
you. But I'm not stuffing.
Doesn't matter. If you're like, that would be like saying, like, would you go up to a baby and say, like, well, I gave you a lot of healthy food. I know you can take just a little more.
No.
Then why are you doing it to yourself?
Justification, I'm sure.
It's because you have this idea that it's clean, it's healthy, it's just food. Right. Your body doesn't give a shit if it's salmon or a Twinkie. If it's had enough, it's like, don't give me any more. I got all I need. And if you give me any more, whether it's a piece of salmon or a Twinkie, I got a place right on your ass. I'll stick it.
And you've got three tools that I've already heard from many of the things that I've listened to that you've said. One thing that I've never done is I'll come to the table from cooking with the family and I'll be agitated. Yeah. So I am making a conscious effort to sit there. And even if it's just that I count to 10 before I lift my fork, that's a tool that I've put in my toolbox that's new that you've given me. And then, by God, if I can put the fork down in between bites, I'll try, but that's hard.
And it's going to be hard because you've never done it. So it's okay that it's hard in the beginning. And it's okay if sometimes you forget. It's going to take your brain getting used to doing it. And once it starts doing it, it gets less hard. The brain always thinks anything that it has to do that's new, it's like.
Well, I stop thinking shitty thoughts about my family when I'm cleaning the house or cooking, because I'm like, I'm doing this to take care of my family. So it's okay. And I don't need to feel nasty about it, because that's nasty. You know, they appreciate it. They appreciate a hot meal. I get mad props when I cook delicious food and they pretty much love everything every night, all those things. The other little, if you'll give me just to wrap it up, My other big struggle is because I have been terrified. I think I'm a sugar addict. I think I'm a carb addict. I'm pretty good. I've gotten to where I can eat a few French fries and leave them alone. I've gotten to where I can eat a couple of my husband's chips and leave them alone. Because I used to tell him, get that shit out of the house. I can't. And he's wonderful. He's like, I have to have some of this stuff. But I've gotten to where the only thing that scares me is like sugary stuff. So yesterday, first day of fall, we had a planned exception. I joined membership on September 20th at 8:30 in the evening. So I'm stoked about that. But we had a planned exception kind of early on. We went, we took the new fishing boat out. We knew we were going to eat fun food. We knew we were going to eat when we were hungry, but we didn't know what it was going to be. So it was a fried chicken sandwich, a couple of onion rings. And then later, not hungry though, but I said I was going to have an exception. I had one cookie and a couple of handfuls of caramel corn. But I don't feel messed up about that because that's the first time I've had sugar in probably, I don't know, 6 months.
So you're for sure not an addict.
Right.
It's just something that you always tell yourself that leads you to feeling terrified. What if we just stop saying I'm an addict and just say, right, I prefer not to eat sugar. I prefer not to eat carbs. Sometimes I do, and I know exactly what to do when I do it.
Thank you for validating that for me, because I do feel like I need to have some limits for myself on that. And my plan binge would be to go sit at Frost Bake Shop and just line up some strawberry cupcakes and just, I think it would be horrifying, but I'm considering it. Just get six strawberry cupcakes and sit there in the place with my coffee and just eat them until I'm like, you know, whatever the feeling is going to be. But I had that victory yesterday, and I want to just close on the fact that I had something really positive, that I did not feel that guilty when I had my cookie and my caramel corn yesterday, because I was practicing trusting myself. And that's a benefit of the mind work that you give us to focus on here.
I think that that's what's really important, because what I don't want you doing is creating weight loss success, doing things, thinking I need all these things to be in control in order for me not to be out of control. Versus I'm always,
excuse me for interrupting.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's like, I'm always in control. I don't need to use terror tactics to get myself to act the way that I want to act. So if I'm not going to terrorize myself into eating ways that I want to eat, how would I be setting it up? When I eat these foods, I do plan them, because then I really get to enjoy them. I don't enjoy them when I'm just eating them nilly-willy and for any other reason and coming up with all this other stuff. It's changing the narration that's going to go on around those foods. We get real heavy into that in module 2 and 3, but that's where I want you to be thinking about, is how useful is it going to be to continue to call yourself a sugar and carb addict? Because it probably feels bad. I couldn't imagine ever calling myself that and being like, that works. Like, it doesn't feel sexy. It doesn't feel empowering. And so what we do is we work really hard on our language around stuff. Because if you think you're an addict, you'll act like one. You'll cut it all off, or you'll be terrified when you're around it. You'll spend time trying to control your life, and you'll spend all your time focusing on food and missing out on your life.
I'm excited. This is good stuff. I'm excited to have it for the holidays, because I feel like I have something sturdy to hold on to.
Oh my gosh. And we're getting ready to redo the Handling the Holidays lesson. We're going to go through it all together in November. We have a brand new Handling the Holidays coming out. It's going to be awesome. In fact, the coaches and I are finalizing scripts the day before camp, and then I'm shooting them. So it'll be good.
Cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Welcome to the No BS women.
No BS.
Let's see. All right. What time are we running? Okay. Let me answer a couple of questions. I'm having a hard time planning a 60-day goal. My husband and I are trying to get pregnant this month, so I'm afraid I'll make a plan and won't be able to stick to it. What if you just make a plan, and if you get pregnant, you adjust it? What if we just don't be afraid that we're going to write some number down? The number's just going to give you a direction. And if your body goes in another turn, guess what? Create a new direction. Simple as that. Like, literally, that sheet, you could go print it off on the website, paperclip it in your binder, whole new 60-day plan goal sheet right there. Y'all don't be overthinking my shit now. I'm not an overthinker. What if we plan for something not as healthy and instead we are wanting a salad or a best choice? Do we substitute or just stick to the plan? If you want a healthier choice, I always encourage you, like if you plan, let's say you plan to have a hamburger and a baked potato for lunch and you get to the restaurant and you're like, you know what? A grilled chicken salad sounds better. I think I'm like ready to do a grilled chicken salad. I don't even need my burger today. Go for it. And I would track that as an off-plan eat with a fat smiley face staring right at me. Haven't started yet. How do I catch up? What's my best steps? Log into the website, Sharon. I would get like, literally, you don't need to be on this call. So I would go do the orientation. If you've already done the orientation, then you'll go to the No BS weight loss course. You'll see it right on the page. So when you go to pnptribe.com, it's right there. Start on module one. I put an item on my plan for lunch, but then the next morning remembered I had leftovers from the night before. If I make a sub, what all do I have to do? Wendy, I would probably just make the sub note in your plan. You don't have to do a discovery worksheet unless you've been around for a long time. Don't get hung up on having to do discovery worksheets yet, guys. All I would do, Wendy, is I would, like if it's just something simple like this, guys, do the discovery worksheets. If you have like a real fuck it eat, a real like I ate a bunch of shit I didn't plan, or you had a moment where you overate or whatever, use it for that. But for these little bitty things, like I put one thing on my lunch and then I forgot that I had leftovers and I would have planned that if I'd remembered, I would just write that down. We're not overweight, guys. Like think about it. You're not overweight because you remembered you had leftovers and you're going to sub something. We want to focus on the things that are creating the weight. These little things, we just want to reinforce that this is normal eating and this is fine. Accountability groups. Should I go ahead and request to sign up now or wait until I get back from a short vacation just in case there's a day I can't check in? I just wait. Honestly, if you're fixing to go on a short vacation, the accountability group signups are there forever. We don't ever take that down. So I would just wait. I find that I don't feel hungry easily. For example, I haven't eaten dinner since 16 hours ago. Do I keep waiting or am I missing hunger cues if they aren't big tummy growls? You could be missing things. Just keep tracking it. Very often, guys, when you first start doing this and you start listening for your hunger, some people, when you stop the overeating and you start waiting for hunger, your body quickly slips into wanting to burn off the stored calories. It's like it's been waiting for the moment to start dining in on all of those overeats and start going to the body to eat. So it consumes calories off of your body. As it consumes those calories, guess what happens? Your stomach doesn't need to send up any signals. It doesn't need to ask for food. It's eating that extra cheeseburger you had a few weeks ago. It's eating those tots that you didn't plan on eating and that you got off your husband's plate. Like it's eating those things. So, you know, in the beginning, just be open to things will change. I will notice stuff. As long as I'm paying attention, I'll be just fine. Our private member podcasts and the website video replays the exact same thing. Yes, they are. We just give them to you in two different places. All right. Let's see. Natalie. Whoa, sweet baby face right there. Good gracious. Hi, Natalie.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I should have joined in May, and I just donated to Weight Watchers. For
That's all right. I'm sure Oprah's been struggling. She needs all the help she can get.
So I have a new baby. I had her in May, and she's super cute. She's not sleeping. That's beside the point, maybe. But I'm exclusively breastfeeding her, so I'm kind of wonky with my hunger cues, maybe. I don't know. So my question is, I've been trying to eat and pay attention to my hunger cues and feel like I get to a point where I've had enough or I'm full. And then like 10, 15, 20 minutes later, I'll feel hungry again.
Okay.
So I feel like, why am I feeling full or that I've had enough? And then such a short time later, and I'm drinking my 64 ounces of water.
You may need a little extra water just because you're breastfeeding.
Okay.
You might want to up your water some. It could be your body asking for, like I drink a gallon of water a day.
Okay. And
let's all just praise God that I'm not breastfeeding right now. I did it for a year. And Logan's a one and done for many reasons, including breastfeeding. He was like, he thought I was a Jersey cow. I would start with more water first. The other thing that I would do is when you eat, maybe eat just a little bit more. So one of the thoughts that you're having is your hunger cues might be wonky because you're breastfeeding. I find that with my nursing moms and with my pregnant moms, if there's any time in your life where your hunger cues are dead on, it's actually during those times.
Okay.
Your body is going to tell you when it needs food. So I want you to really trust that when your body signals it needs something to eat, that you need to eat.
Okay.
Don't be questioning it. The way that you'll know if you are, things that you can try is making sure you're getting plenty of healthy fats so that you're, that will help you with like maybe not the hunger coming on so fast. So like, what do you typically eat when do you notice you get hungry fast? Have you looked at your foods to see what you're planning to see if that might be part of it? Or
I think it doesn't matter. Like no matter what I eat.
Give me an example of a typical, you have like a typical lunch.
Yeah, I've been doing the easy thing where I'm getting the bag salad from Aldi and then I'm adding like protein and I'm having the full fat dressing and I'm adding some nuts on it to make sure that I have enough and I'll eat it and I can basically almost eat the entire bag, but I'm trying not to because I'm like, okay, well, I shouldn't be eating the entire bag because I feel too full.
Right. But I want you to understand though, like even when you eat that, that's a great choice, by the way. I have no problems with your choice, but you're basically got chicken, nuts, and dressing. Whatever that roughage that's in there is like going to burn through you just like that.
Okay.
So I would just, because this is different than the rest of you guys. We're literally talking to someone who's nursing. I would make sure that you might even try adding something else to the salad to make it a little bit more rambunctious.
Oh, there's cheese in there too. I forgot about that. There is cheese in there.
Okay.
So
when you eat that
spoonfuls of, well, then I'll do like spoonfuls of peanut butter because I'm like, okay, well, I need something with protein and fat. So then I'll do a spoonful of peanut butter.
So what I would do is probably stay. Are you losing weight doing that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I would stay away from just doing a spoonful of peanut butter and I would have more very deliberate foods that you eat. Like okay. These are the things that I eat when I am hungry.
Okay.
Spoonful of peanut butter, there's nothing wrong with peanut butter, but what ends up happening is it's so quick and it's so easy that we can eat a spoonful and it end up being two tablespoons full. And sometimes we get two spoonfuls and it's like one, and you could do it two or three times a day. And it's not like you're just sitting around overeating, but it's like, it's not a very conscious food.
Okay.
And I think that right now with what you're experiencing, I would probably plan,
higher fat.
Snacks, like fruit with cheese cubes that, or something along those lines. But I would also just try eating a little bit more at your meals for now. If you're kicking hunger so fast, but also here's the other part, up the water. And then is your milk supply good?
Yep.
Then I just wonder if your baby's not sleeping good, if some of this is also being tired. And so a lot of times when the body is tired, it asks for food to keep going, especially if you're nursing.
Sleeping a lot still.
Yeah. It may just be that rather than eating during those moments, you need to just sit, even if you're just sitting with the baby, whatever you need to do, okay, and just see. Try it for a couple of days.
Okay.
It will be uncomfortable. It won't be fun because you're tired and you're used to eating a little bit to get that little bit of energy because you're tired. But even just sitting with the baby and breathing, try it and see if your body will quit asking for food as you up the water. I still would up the fat just a little bit. You may even, like, are you getting many carbs? Because you're going to need carbs.
Yeah, I'm having, like, toast or a sandwich, too, during the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure you're having carbs, because nursing mamas need carbs, and your salad didn't have any carbs in it.
That's why I was asking. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, and I feel you. My Logan did not sleep through the night until he was 18 months old. That's why he has no siblings. I was like, you're such a great teenager, but you were a bastard as a baby. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. Is it okay to go through your day and only eat one meal? I don't eat breakfast and I get hungry about 12:30 and eat lunch. When it comes to dinner, I'm not hungry, but I feel I need to eat anyway because I might get hungry at night and wake up. Here's what I want to tell everyone. In the beginning, for some of you, like I said, you're going to have all these stored calories where you ate extra meals, where you sat down and went to a restaurant and you ate 2 to 3 meals. You got meals on your body right now to make up for ground. When you first start, some of you are going to see that, like, you really only need to eat once a day for just a little bit. This isn't all the time. But in the beginnings, that can happen. You might have waves where this happens. There's nothing wrong with missing a meal. It will be uncomfortable. Like Tanya just said, you know the hardest part? Fearing I'm going to get hungry, as if something doomtastic will happen if I get hungry. The worst that will happen, Tanya, I think it's Tanya, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and you're going to be hungry and either go back to bed or eat a snack. So let's just skip it and see what happens rather than trying to predict what will happen. You can just have a plan for it. I wake up hungry sometimes. Yesterday was a really good day where I missed lunch. I ended up eating. And then because I ate so early, I was hungry before bed. But I didn't panic. I didn't sit there and go like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to get to sleep because I'm hungry. I've conditioned myself to not have anxiety about hunger anymore. I just thought, you know what? When I get up in the morning, if I'm hungry, I'll just eat breakfast first thing. It'll be great. So it's like learning how to take down the temperature of your thoughts around the hunger is super helpful. Y'all are going to be way stronger around hunger than you ever thought you were. So much of us set up our eating life trying to avoid being afraid of hunger, and like we're like doing everything in this scared mode. And what you're going to learn is we're pulling back the curtain on hunger. It's not as bad as we thought. Hunger itself is just not as bad as we thought. It's the thinking around it that scares us. It's what we make it mean if we're not eating that scares us. It's all of that, and that's what we'll specialize on in modules 2 and 3. Okay, let's get one more person. Lisa. Guys, if I don't get your question, if you'll take it over to Facebook, ask your questions over there. I would love you guys to ask there first, so that you can get help from your peers. There's lots of No BS women that have just as good of advice as I do. All of us are over there. But if you're not in Facebook, you can always take it to Ask Coaches, and we'll help you over there. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Corinne. How are you?
I'm good.
I am a September baby, so I'm brand new. And I am actually 48 pounds down since the beginning of the year.
Good for you. All the way through the COVID, too.
Yeah, I've actually, I lost to COVID-19. But I was working with a nutritionist really closely to overhaul my approach to have, eating, food choices, all of that sort of stuff. And that's where I'm struggling. And the only concept I'm struggling with your program is the good, better, best.
Okay.
Because I've cleaned up my eating so much I'm like, I don't know where to go with that. I started writing like my good foods and they were all like super healthy.
So I put those all in the best. You just put all of those in the best. You just may not have many good or better foods that you eat anymore.
Right.
That's okay. Like my good column is super short now. It used to be extensive because it was all I ate. And then as I've gone on through the years and I've released the emotional need for food and I've really gotten to where I enjoy eating better and healthier foods more, right. My good food list is really short and delicious.
Yeah,
I used to have a lot of good foods on there, but there was a lot of foods that, I mean, they still taste good. Like McDonald's is not on my good food list anymore.
Right.
Now, is McDonald's tasty? Yes. But it's not worth it to me anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like, I've just found, like, if I'm going to have a burger, it won't be at McDonald's anymore. It will be at Burger Republic. You know, it's a good burger. It's all the burger, you know. So it's like, so don't worry about that too much. Just take your foods. And if you don't have a big good food list or a better food list, it just means that you've really developed a relationship with all of these. But also question, just to make sure, like, if I love all of these, mm-hmm. are there any good and better foods that maybe I've cut out that it's okay if you add them to the list. It doesn't mean you have to eat them all the time.
Right.
It just means like, you know, if I was going to, you know, when I'm going to have a treat or when I'm going to like, if I'm going to really like, if I'm going to go out and have something, this would be the thing I would do. Like for me, it's a blondie. I love a blondie. You don't see Corinne eat dessert hardly ever. Not because I don't think desserts are great. I've just gotten to where if I'm having a dessert, it is going to be an orgasm in my mouth.
Yeah.
And these are the orgasms. And my whole good list is orgasm foods now. But I don't just put, like a lot of foods for me as I developed a better relationship with me and I didn't need them emotionally anymore. Like so many of my good foods used to be foods that I used to comfort myself because I didn't know how to comfort myself with my thinking. Like I didn't know how to love me. So the only way that I knew how was to like have these foods. It felt loving to eat them. It felt like, you know, at the end of the day, having this, like, you know, finally you're taking care of you.
Right.
That was not the way that I wanted to keep living. And so when I really learned how to end the day taking care of myself because I thought nice things about myself, I structured my day to talk differently about myself. You know, McDonald's, I didn't need it anymore to cope. It didn't make it a bad food. It's just like, I just don't need it anymore. It's kind of like, you know how like sometimes you have friends in your life and you're like ride or dies. You don't really have a falling out, but you kind of just don't like I don't hang out with the people from high school anymore. We went different ways, but it's not because they're bad people. We just went different ways. It's kind of like with me and fast food and lots of my foods. It's like, as I grew, we went our separate ways.
Got it.
Does that help?
It does. It helps a ton because I was beating myself up over the fact that I couldn't figure out how to fill out this, what seemed like a fairly straightforward exercise.
Well, and that's the funny thing is because it's a very simple exercise that's not always easy to do.
Right.
And the only reason why it's not easy is because of what we've all been conditioned all of our life to think about food and in relation to what it makes it mean, the ones we eat. So many of us spend a lot of time thinking that if I eat this, then I am bad.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to separate here. It's like that, what you eat has nothing to do with your worth and morality. It's just food. Mm-hmm. We just want to learn how to teach you how to have your own self-worth outside of food. Define what your worthiness is. Same thing with, you know, like being a good person. Like doesn't have anything to do with weight and it doesn't have anything to do with food.
Right.
It has everything to do with how you think about yourself. Okay.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. I'm going to call this one right at 1 hour today, just because I want to make sure that since we have newbies, that we have very like easy consumable calls that aren't like an hour and 20 minutes and somebody wouldn't want to listen to it and all that other stuff. So thank you all for being here. we will have like my Q&A, I believe it's this Saturday at 9 a.m. It's rapid fire. Yep. And it's on Facebook Live. So that's where you'll find me this Saturday on the Facebook Live inside our private membership with you doing Q&A. Like I said, guys, take all your questions, put them in Facebook first. I promise you, you can put them in your main group. You can put them in your subgroups. People know the shit around here. You are going to find that we are the most helpful and most just community-driven group of bitches you've ever met. So put them there. And then if it's a very specific coaching thing, or if you're not on Facebook, feel free to take it over to our Ask Coaches feature. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye-bye, y'all.